Okay, we continue in the Bilvavi, Volume 2. We're on the top of page Kuf Nun Hey, closing out on Chapter 15. And we're discussing the concept of Shuvu Banim Shovavim. Every day a Basco comes out and makes that statement that the backsliding children should return. We discussed that when you return, you have to return with all your koiches, with everything that you have, and you have to return them to Hashem. And how does a person return all those koiches to Hashem? So he needs a kli, he needs a utensil. Just like a utensil has to bring water from one place to another, the utensil to bring all your koiches back to Hashem and to be that korban oila to Hashem, and that comes through the power of speech. And you should return all your thoughts and everything back to Hashem. And we mentioned, you know, if anything good comes to Hashem, you should send it good by verbalizing your appreciation. If bad things are coming from Hashem, as it were, bad thoughts, you should send it back to Hashem and say, Hashem, I'm not interested in it. And these are the things in which Hashem can help you. He can help you with these things. And that's the utensil to bring it back to Hashem. And therefore, really, all the averos that you have done as well can be brought back to Hashem. You say, I don't want it anymore. But let's continue, and we'll see how he develops this idea of the speech. Top of page, Kuf Nun Hei. Bidiburo, when a person speaks, what happens? Yotzer ha'adam kli, the person fashions the utensil. This is the utensil to carry things back to Hashem. It's the or choser, that returning light. Munachas kan hakora sheha'or higiyat me'arban shalom. When you speak to Hashem, the first thing you benefit from is that it, by definition, means you recognize that that light came from Hashem. For example, shamach shava higiyat me'arban shalom, that thought of doing a sin came from Hashem. Esahir azeh atonasatali, you gave me this fleeting thought. This wanting you gave me. And even if you talk, even do it. Because Hashem gave you the strength to do it. First you gotta, you know, use them, even if they're in the wrong way. Then you gotta give them back to Rabbi Nishalaylam. It doesn't matter if it's a fleeting thought or a strong desire, a great yearning that's not proper. A person has to stop for a minute and say the following. You have given me a desire that I really don't want to make use of. You have desired me to look at things I shouldn't look at. You have desired me to say things I shouldn't be saying. And I really don't want it deep down. I'm asking you, please, to take it back. So, you know, the Zohar gives a very famous mashal, a very famous analogy, where there's a king who has a son who he knows is the crown prince and is going to be the king one day. So what does the father do? He hires a zona, he hires a prostitute to try to seduce the son. And what he says to the prostitute is, try your best to seduce him. You give it all you got. Because my son has to learn values, morality. He has to be put up to the strongest test. Because as a king, he'll have great tests. So the harder you try to seduce him, the better more I'm going to pay you. Okay? Now, one of two things is going to happen. Either she's going to do such a good job, she will have seduced the son. So she comes back to the son, and she'll tell the son, and she'll tell the king, and the king will understand that the son is still weak, and he'll have to speak to the son, and he'll have to teach him how to have more self-control. Or she'll tell the king that the son was very strong, and he had good morality. And the king will be very happy to know that he passed an important test. Either way, where did the prostitute come from? It came from the king. It came from the king. Regardless if you pass or if you fail, it came from the king. Now, yes, The failure is your responsibility. The failure is your responsibility. But Hashem did send you the test. You gotta remember that. So, and then, you know, even if you fall, there is what to grow from. So, you know, when, after you've done an Avera, you know, there was some kind of a test involved. Hashem presented the opportunity for you to fail. He put in your mind a thought, well, why not do it? What the heck? You know, and then you're supposed to fight back. That was your part of the doing. You're fighting back, sending it back. When it was in the thought stage, you're supposed to send it back already. But if you don't send it back, all right, then you made a mistake, and then you got to look at the fact that now I've totally fallen, and you got to think, is this something I want to repeat? Is this something I want to repeat? Something I want to do again? And the first time you fall, you at least have some kind of conscience and some guilt. And then you can dig and say, you know, what kind of a shmo was I? That's not who I am. I'm not supposed to do such a thing. And then you say, I don't want it anymore. I don't want it anymore. Hashem, you take it. I don't want it. Even after you failed, you can use this. You can use this. All right? And that's that idea we said yesterday. You know, you get something in the mail. You didn't ask for it. Return to sender. Goodbye. I don't want it anymore. Right? So therefore, what he is saying, which is true, but it's hard for us to, you know, deal with this, is that our thoughts are not totally self-generated, and Hashem is sending you the message in order for you to fix them up. So even though our actions are, you know, our final decisions when we do an aver are very much our responsibility, but still not all self-generated. Hashem does send the situation to us. He sets all the situations. He got your wife in a bad mood, and you got in a big fight with her, and therefore you stomped out of the house, and then you went to the bar, and he sends the nice shiksa to sit next to you, to talk to you. Alright, that's all he's doing. Okay? Now, are you gonna, you know, just get the heck out of there and go to your wife and say you're sorry? That's your choice. That's your choice. But Hashem is setting you up. There's no question about it. The question is, are you going to be able to deal with it? So you've got to really say, no, I'm not interested in engaging in these things. And then you move on. Right? And that is the tool of how you send it. But you've got to say it. If you don't say it, you don't realize what's going on. If you don't realize this is a setup, right? Then you get lost in that world of fantasy, because all God is creating is a fantasy. That's all He is doing. It's a fantasy world. Right? What's the fantasy world? You get in a fight with your wife, and you're saying, ah, you know, I knew she whoever was really such a good wife. Right? That's all a fantasy. That's all fantasy. She is a good wife. She is a good wife. All right? You're just right now angry. When you're angry, you think things that aren't logical. So that's a fantasy. And then you go to the bar, and the shiksa is next to you. Oh, she looks like she's a very nice person. It's the furthest thing from the truth. What's a good person doing in a bar trying to pick up a guy? Okay? So now you've got her thinking that the shiksa is better than your wife. Now, is there not a bigger fantasy in the world than that? Right? You understand? It's no bigger fantasy. So Hashem sent you that fantasy, that fantastic fantasy. And now the question is, if you stop for just a minute or two and say, okay, let me analyze this. You know, my wife isn't that terrible. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to her that she yelled at me and this and that. She usually doesn't do that and this and that. And it's very strange circumstances that I'm finding myself in, you know. Oh, I get it. Hashem, you're the one who's creating this fantasy. You're giving me a chance to live my fantasies. You know, that's somebody suggested that I take a look at this movie, perhaps for educational purposes. It's called the Bucket List. The Bucket List. Aside from the swearing, it's not bad. You know, but it's, you know, but it's so in one of the scenes, in one of the. Bekitzer, it's about two guys who have cancer. They're going to die, and they want to, you know, fulfill their last wishes. So one guy's rich and one guy's poor, and they happen to be in the same hotel, hospital. So the rich guy says, "Listen, I can get, you know, make any wish you want. You know, you're on your wish list. I can, Oh, so the guy said he wanted to be able to see the most amazing, say he wanted to see one, what are the real hard mountains to climb? Not Everest, another one, an amazing, maybe Kilimanjaro, no, the Himalayans. Himalayans. Said it's, one guy's like a poor black fellow and the other guy's a multi-billionaire. A poor black fellow can never go to the Himalayans, right? He says, don't worry, I can get you a jet. We can be there, you know. He always wanted to drive a race car on an Indy track, you know. So how, the rich guy has no problem, you know. So he gets to do all these things. And meanwhile, what happens is, you know, the black fellow who was the poor fellow had a wife for 35 years. The rich guy, you know, he's been married a million times and doesn't talk to his only daughter. Like, so the black fellow, he figured, I've really missed a lot out in life, so I want to finally do something for myself. So he goes to the racetrack, he does this. You know, his wife is livid. So I've been your wife for 35 years, and you're going with this guy to go, you know, dance around the world for the last three, four months you have of your life. And so Bekitzer, so then finally, you know, the wife calls the rich guy, come on, I want my husband back, and this and that, you know. So the rich guy says, it wasn't my decision, your husband decided he wanted to go, right? So the kids are so, after they can't climb the Himalayans, so they come to the Himalayans, and they're like all the way ready to make the final thing, and wouldn't you know it, terrible weather, snowy and this and that, you can't make an ascent when it's like that. So they said, what's the weather report? It'll clear up by spring. Like, then they're going to be dead, you know, it doesn't help. So anyway, anyway, so then that night, so the black fellow he's at the bar just having a drink, you know, and then this gorgeous, gorgeous young woman comes over to him, starts talking to him, this and that, and then they get into a nice deep conversation about spirituality, this and that, and then says, you know, I've never done this before, but I do have a room upstairs, blah 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 blah, and the black fellow like thinks for a minute. And then says, no, I'm not really that kind of guy. Right? So then the next scene, the black fellow goes to the rich guy and says, what the heck are you trying to... And he hopped afterwards. He hopped that the rich man paid the woman to do that. Right? Because the rich man is always saying, listen, why don't you live it up at the end? You know, what do you have your wife? I mean, you're in your 60s. I mean, you could have some fun. You know, the rich guy can pay for that kind of fun. Right? So only afterwards did the black guy hop that he sent the woman to him. And then the next morning he says, we're going home. So what's the point? So you can imagine, it's like that rich man was like his Hashem. He was sending that, he had to make a situation for him to realize that he really does love his wife. How could he realize that? When he's got the opportunity to fool around with a much more beautiful woman. Right? Because the black fellow said, all my life I've been doing everything for everybody else. He says, I wanted to go and be a university professor. But then when your father dies, when you're 18, you have to work. So I've been a car mechanic for the last 35 years. And I worked at my two kids. One is a doctor, one is a lawyer. Right? But I never do anything for myself. So that's why I want to get something for himself. So then, but the wife says to the rich guy, come on, he's my husband. You know, let him, you know. So the rich guy was able to create a scenario for him to realize he was doing the wrong thing. You know, they had their fun, but now it's time to... So that's clear. So Hashem does that all the time with us. Hashem's the rich guy, right? And he can create all kinds of scenarios, but they're meant for us to learn lessons from, you see. That's why I think it's a good movie to show. Aside from the swearing of my machlokes with my wife, should we show it, not show it? So I said, dear... I'm not showing it to the frum crowd. It's a Kirov movie. It's not a just, you know, and I'm sure to the secular people, the secular people are going to see movies that are worse, right? They're going to see movies that are worse. Anyway, that's my debate. We'll see. We'll see what happens Christmas night. I mean, you go out there, you go out there, I mean, even the talk that they're using is in the movie is much less than what you hear on the street. You know, it's like... No, you're not condoning it. Okay, I don't want to get into a discussion about this. You're not gonna, you have to reach people where they are. You have to reach people where they are, and if that's the catch to get them, And you put a little, what do you call it, a line, a miss, what's the thing called, you know, that you don't, disclaimer. A disclaimer, you know, you might find this language, what do you call it,
offensive,
and it's not meant for our regular frum crowd.
If only you found this language offensive.
Yeah, all of it. But it's a tremendous message. It's a tremendous message. So, but that's the point that Hashem is doing over. So you gotta realize, what's the whole point? So the black guy realized it was a fantasy. This was a fantasy. This was all of it. Especially at the end. It was a fantasy. And you gotta get back to reality. So that's the whole test of life. The whole trip of life is God presents us with many fantasies. He crafts his fantasies. And we have to understand there's emes and there's not emes. And that's what Hashem is doing. That's how all every avera you do is only based on one thing. It's falling trapped to the Yetzirah's fantasies. And who's the Yetzirah if not on God's payroll? And therefore, the trick is to realize what's a fantasy. How are you going to know it's a fantasy? Speak it out. Just talk it out. Say it. Talk about it. You'll see how ridiculous it is. That's your handle on the situation. If you don't talk about it, you're in it. If you're in the fantasy, you can't see yourself out of the fantasy. And you're playing, your fantasy looks real. But if you can step out and analyze this and say, what is going on over here? You know, I'm not with my wife. I'm over here in this bar. And now this, is this what I learned in school? Is this what my rabbeim taught me? Is this what, the rabbi says we should do? You know, and then you say, how could, Rabbi Nishlam, you're doing it again. Oh, you're very clever. You almost had me on that one. You almost had me. You used my temper and you used my lack of self-esteem. And all of a sudden you start making an accounting of how your faults enabled that fantasy to come into reality. And then you realize, you know, if I worked a little bit on my temper, I worked a little bit on my self-esteem, I look a little on my respect for others, this and that, then all of a sudden that is what created the fantasy. Because if I was a loyal husband, and if I didn't get angry so much, and I didn't do that, then I wouldn't have gotten in the fight with my wife, and I wouldn't have stomped out of the house, and I wouldn't have done this, and I wouldn't looking for low self-esteem, so I'll take the approval from anybody, even a shiksa in a bar will be enough to give me self-esteem. So that's mishigas. And then, not only did he pass the test, he's grown within himself. And that's how Hashem's doing. So Jeanette just is mamish, she just can't hold herself back, yeah.
The whole thing is so great. Every situation that you mentioned is great. The only thing that's confusing me is that he, Davka, mentions Kvira. And Kvira is the one area that we...
Even Kvira is an illusion and a fantasy.
But we're taught that that's the one avera in our thoughts. So where do...
So like it's an avera, but you got to throw it out. But you got to throw it out. If you throw it out, then it's fine. Then you don't... No, you're thinking, it's just thinking as a hear-hoor, and then I really want to do it, right? And even, so if you really want to do it, it's an avera, fine. But then get rid of it. You do tshuva.
So when the thought, the fleeting thought, what he's saying is the hear-hoor is from Hashem, but the machshava is from
you. And you develop it. The sin is when you develop. Remember, all these things, the first thought comes from Hashem. Now, how do you develop it? And then you develop it. You make a big thing out of it. Right? And Hashem ain't stopping you. He ain't stopping you. Okay, that's already your business. Right? There are situations that would lead a person to be a kofar. Right? A lot of people you know are dying all of a sudden. Things aren't turning out right at all. You know, you're beginning, you happen to pick up a book from Jews for Jesus. Just happen to be lying around. So God sets up all these scenarios. So that the thought starts to come into your mind. Now, you know, thinking means I really want to do it. I want to be far away from Hashem. I want to worship idols. I'm ready to worship idols. I'm making the plans to worship the idol. All right. So then by definition, you are thinking to be far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then that becomes an avera. But, you know, Hashem doesn't give you the whole 9 yards. He gives you enough yards for you to carry the ball. And you carry the ball to the point of Avera. Yeah.
Does this work the other way as well in terms of Hashem create, what do we call it, Hashkacha Pratis in the positive way, that Hashem creates scenarios that allow us to come to an understanding of His goodness and our connection with
Him? Same thing. And you should speak that out too. It works the same way. Things are going wonderfully great. Unbelievable great. Everything's going good. So what do you say? My, am I so clever? Boy, I was smart to invest in oil this week. It went up $25, whatever, right? I was smart to sell last week before it dropped. Oh, am I clever? I make a lot of money, and therefore I can run the school. Right? Right? And I'll hold it now, mister. Ooh, what kind of fantasies are you thinking? You think that it's you? So you got to step back and talk and say, look what's happened the last few weeks. I've made $1 million, and my family is amazing, and this and that. Oh, Hashem, you're the one who sent it to me. Oh, thank you so much, Hashem. I have so much gratitude for you. You know what? Considering how much you've done for me, I think I have to upgrade my mitzvah performance now. Right? So that's getting out of the fantasy world too. The fantasy world of all the success and everything you have can turn you into a monster. Al pi halacha. Right? Without even, you know, novel brishu satara. You won't be doing a sin, but you'll be doing terrible things. Right? So that works for sure both ways. There's always fantasies. God is sending fantasies all the time to you. Now, he's not sending the fantasy. Let's just change it. He's sending situations based on your character faults will lend itself to creating this fantasy. In other words, we all have certain character flaws that we carry with ourselves. The ingredients to create a fantasy require your faulty character, plus God sending situations that are specifically tailored to blossom under your faulty characters to create this fantasy. You got that? And that's what Hashem is working with. Now, if you're an ultimate tzaddik, it's a lot harder for God to create the fantasy, as it were. He can still create it, but he's got to be a lot more subtle. You know, to get Moshe Rabbeinu to sin, it took a lot more work. You know, he couldn't just stop have somebody nudging and kvetching to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? How can you get him to sin, right? How can you get him to sin? You got to get his sister to die, right? Which that itself is an unbelievably shocking thing. And she doesn't get to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he wants to sit Shiva. And even then the congregation is nudging him. And even when he's nudging them, they're mocking him and this and that and all these things. And, you know, so, whoa. So that, for most of us, Hashem doesn't have to send very much at all. Just somebody who cuts us off in traffic. And we got enough fantasies, got enough material to work with to spoil the whole day. Right? Somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu, someone like Dovid HaMelech with the sin of Bathsheba, Hashem had to really crank it up to create the fantasy. And he had to go beyond nature to create the fantasy in Dovid HaMelech. Right? But there is Epis, the littlest flaw, Epis, there's something. So Hashem can work on it. And then that becomes the test. Now, the greatness of Avraham Avinu was that, you know, no matter what Hashem did, he still passed all those tests. So that's how Hashem is working. But the key component is, how can you tell if it's fantasy or not? That's always the question we're doing in Avera. How do I know it's a fantasy or something I should be doing? So what do? Talk it over. Using your mouth and saying what's happening, you know, brings you out of, you become the CNN commentary. How was McCain's speech, right? Well, there's thousands of people clapping and cheering, but they're all Republicans. They're in a fantasy world, and they think he's going to win. I mean, they're both are in fantasy worlds. The only one's going to win. They're both not going to win, right? They're living in fantasy worlds. So comes the newsman, and he says, well, really, McCain said nothing. You know, go through, first 10 minutes was just narishkeit, the next 10 minutes was just rhetoric. He did not address the economy, he did not address this, he did not address that, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, and that's why all he did was say, what did he say? Now, when you're down on the convention floor and there's thousands of people and there's emotion and there's this, and why you're a Republican and not a Democrat is because you hate the mayor of your city that was a Democrat that raised your taxes and this and that, because we know the Democrats are going to raise your taxes, so now it's just a question of money, and you couldn't care less if McCain will keep us in the war because you don't have anybody, a child who's going to war anyway, so you don't care if anybody dies in Iraq. It's all emotion. So it's all a fantasy world that is the convention creates. The analyst says, listen, Lemaisa, he's full of hooey, and he hasn't said anything. You know, and he better start saying things. But the truth is, they're wrong. You don't have to say anything in these elections. As long as people feel comfortable with you as a liar, then you're elected. And that's all. So, but it's all fantasy world. But in your own life, at least, try to know when there's a fan. How can you ever get out and be the analyst of your life? You have to step out and talk it over and say, let me understand exactly what has happened here. And then you realize that Hashem is the one who's creating this scenario, then you realize it's a fantasy. And you realize how you have to behave. And that's the kli, that's the utensil to bring it back to Hashem. Once you bring it back to Hashem, right, then you're not gonna fail. You can't fail. Because then you're turning in and saying one more thing. So when you're in the bar, right? And in the last moment, you say to this pretty woman, excuse me, I have to go to the powder room, whatever, right? So, you step, I said, okay, let me talk this one through here. I got in a fight with my wife today. She's a wonderful woman, right? What's going on over here? You know, when did I ever, in the yeshiva, ever think I'd be in such a place right now with such an, this is crazy, right? So he says, Hashem, you're the one who sent it to me. Now, how did that happen? It's because I get angry too much at this and that. He says, okay, Hashem, you know what? Take the shiksa, send her back, and I'm going to go back home. And that's, right? And that's how the or chozer, the light comes back. And now you've grown from that experience, and you may even realize that you talk even love your wife. And then you grow. What? Because you lose yourself in it. You lose yourself. So that's the whole point he's saying. He says that you have to keep Hashem in the picture. That's the kli. And that you have to keep Hashem even in the worst places. When you're in the bar, for at least for a minute, try to remember that Hashem is in the bar with you. Not only is Hashem in the bar with you, Hashem is right next to the shiksa. Hashem is the shiksa. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? He's broader to you. She's paid by, if you knew for 1 minute that Hashem paid the shiksa to seduce you. Okay? If you knew for once, and that's the M's. If you knew for 1 minute that Hashem paid your wife to yell at you. He paid your wife to yell at you. So then he says, so what's going on over here? What's going on over here? I'm gonna react to such, he paid her to yell at me? No. Hashem, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. Yeah, Larry.
What about the situation where the marriage is not a good marriage and he's not growing from it and Hashem sends the right woman? Maybe not in the bar. Or you're
trying to write a movie, Larry? I know now. Larry's next thing, you know, he's getting bored at what he's doing. He's going to go into his brother's business, right, of making movies. But instead of making children's movies, he's going to make Frum for Baal Tshuva with a great market of like 4,000 people. You know?
And all the ideas come
from this. You know, and just make a great Frum movie. That's going to be on Frumster, you know, on these blogs or whatever that it's, you know.
No, but Hashem does send opportunities. Like, you know, have a fight with your boss, for instance. You leave your job, and you happen to be at a trade show, and somebody comes up and says, I'm looking for a guy. Like, is that an opportunity, or is that,
So you got to talk it over. And a lot of times you got to talk it over with somebody who has a better sense of reality than you. You know, that's why you have a rabbi, believe it or not. Right? You have a spiritual advisor who can look at the situation very dispassionately and say if this is the right thing or the wrong thing. You know, speak about a guy who says he has a bad marriage. So the first question the rabbi's going to say is, who says it's a bad marriage? What do you mean? She doesn't let me do things. I say, well, of course not. You don't treat her with respect. You know, it's very easy to let religion free you from a wife or a husband. But a lot of times that's the wife and husband isn't the problem. You're the problem. You're the sick-minded person who wants to use being a Baal Tshuva, a way of escaping your responsibilities of a marriage. Right? And really, you're a crummy husband. Oh, great. Isn't it great? You can learn Torah. Remember, you're Baal Tshuva. All the rabbis are fighting over you in Thornhill, right? Everyone wants to say, I made him frum, right? So now everybody's fawning over you. It's a great thrill that they're giving you more attention than your wife does. The problem is, your wife doesn't give you attention because you're a schmo. That's why. And the rabbis don't know what kind of schmo you are. Look, this helpless person, I want to learn Torah. Just say to the rabbi, I want to learn Torah. Oh, they love you. Now I have a purpose in life. I could be Makar of you. And it's a great thrill. the rabbi loves me more than my wife. The rabbi doesn't yet know what kind of schmo you are, but he'll find out. You'll show him sooner or later what kind of schmo you are. You know. But the rabbi can't yell at you like your wife does. Right? I'm just saying. I'm not saying that's every case, but more often than not, that is the case. I'm not, sometimes you talk a guy's married to a witch. You're right. There are witches out there. Right? There are. But many times it's not a witch. It's not a witch. And therefore, it could be not. So that's why you're talking it out. You're talking it out. And sometimes we're so involved, we gotta even hear an answer. So it's not enough just to talk to God and come to the conclusion yourself. You talk to God via the rabbi or the spiritual advisor, and they step into God's shoes as best as they try to be as objective, and say, you know, this is nonsense, and you stick with your wife, and you be a better husband, and you show her how you want to be a Baal Tshuva, and she's not letting you, just be a better husband. And if you be a better husband, then that's real. No, I'm better, I'm not in, I want to learn Talmud. You know, he wants to learn Talmud, doesn't want to be the better husband, he's a phony Baal Tshuva. You know, not to say you throw him out, but you say, okay, no, really you got to get a better relationship with your wife. That's the real point over here. And you're complaining, so the rabbi's got to say to him, you know what, it's your fault. And just like you sinned by eating treif all your life and not keeping kosher and this and that, you recognize you've done one more sin, you've been a lousy husband for 30 years. That you have to do tshuva on that more than anything else. Okay, then let's see how he responds. Right? It's a lot easier to go, you know, to use religion to be a kosher way to dump your wife. And you have the whole community behind you now. Right? So it's not fair. And you know, you can get, rabbis have to be careful not to be trapped into that. You know, the rabbi wants to have one more feather in his cap. One more Baal Tshuva on my Olam Haba list. Right? And meanwhile, they destroy a family, helping the guy beat up his wife. You know, through a divorce thing, whatever, because you got the community is behind you. I'm not saying sometimes it has to happen. Sometimes, I don't know. More often than not, it doesn't. More often than not, not. Does that answer your question, Larry?
Close.
Okay, now you got the next part of the movie. I've given you got all the scripted scenes out. You start with a secular family, this and that, right? And then you move on to, he happens to go to a discovery or whatever, goes to a shul or whatever. Right? And then he's thinking about it, then he tells his wife, and then have a big fight, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes to the rabbi, right? And then you say, it'll be a great movie. It won't make any money.
Yeah, nobody will go to it.
Nobody will go to it, but it'll, maybe we'll just do a play, Larry. Yeah. Okay. Yes, he's sure. I can see by his face. He's thinking it through.
How differentiating then between scenarios that God is setting up for us and situations that we're actually putting ourselves in, that we're responsible for? It sounded, by the way, the rabbi was giving over, is that every situation is God setting up that trap. And reality, it's not true. We're responsible for our actions.
Yeah,
we
again,
have to know where to go, where not to there, go, what to do, what not
there's,
to do.
There's so. The action. There's the final action.
Right.
That's yours. Right. But all the scenario setting up is Hashem is guiding it. Hashem is guiding it. But the final, ultimate Avera, that's yours. That's yours. That one you have to take full responsibility for.
So the person, according to the rabbi, who's driving and he ends up in a place that he shouldn't be, God didn't guide that. You made a decision. You should have driven home instead of driven where you were. God didn't say, I'm going to guide you that you go there to see.
Oh, he puts that idea in your mind. He puts that idea in your mind. He says, you know what? I'm going to go to a bar. Hashem put that idea in your mind. He wants to go to the bar. That's fine. That's still okay. You haven't done the Averis yet. They haven't done any Averis yet. And then he brings a shiksa to you. Hashem's also doing that, right? Now the ball's in your court, man. Now make a decision. I've given you the ability, because you know what? For the last 20 years, you've fantasized about being with a shiksa. But you're a nice guy. But you fantasized about it. Yeah, the thoughts came in your mind, you know. Wonder what it would be like to be with a shiksa. Wonder what it would be like to live like a goy. You don't think a firm person ever thinks that? She must have. Once in a while, such a yetzer, right? Hashem sends a fleeting thought. It's an Irishkeit. For 20 years, just that's an Irishkeit. Hashem says, you know what? You really need, you know, what happened with Yosef HaTzadik? What do you have to go so far? Yosef HaTzadik. How'd he end up a fraction away from sleeping with the wife of Potiphar? You don't get holier than Yosef HaTzadik. You think he was thinking about her all the, no. But Hashem created the ideal situation, a fantasy situation. What did he do? He has, now let's see. Yosef is a tzaddik, right? Now look, tzaddik for Ralo, you don't get better than this one. He's a tzaddik. He means his brother's best. He is the skion of the Yaakov family. And what happens? They go and sell him as a slave to Egypt. Now what's that going to do for your self-esteem? Okay? It means nobody cares about you at all. Like all my brothers turned on me, right? And now I'm here in Egypt. And what do we know about Egypt? Nobody ever left Egypt alive as a free person. I'm doomed to be here the rest of my life. I will never find a shidduch here. There were no Jews there, right? He didn't know that his stepsister is going to magically find her way into Egypt. And as a matter of fact, even into the house that he's in, but he doesn't realize it's a Jewish stepsister, right? He doesn't know all that stuff. Hashem's running two things at the same time. He's creating a great fantasy. I says, okay, so now, your family rejected you. You will never marry a Jewish woman your whole life. It just won't be, all right? That's what he's thinking. And it's emes, right? The way Hashem created this thing, right? Now, you are working for Potiphar. This woman, who's the most gorgeous woman in the world, and Yosef is 18 years old, is the height of his libido, is going nuts. It's in Egypt, which is like, you know, a million times Las Vegas, where the images are flashing every second to be bad. Okay, now, how much of that did Yosef create? Yeah. But Hashem's setting him up. He's setting him up. And then she's going after him. And then she says, I spoke to the astrologers. And in those days, the astrologers were, you know, more on track than now. Right? And they said, Mamish, we are destined for each other. We're destined for each other. And more than that, prophetically, he sees great Jewish leaders are going to come from him. So now he's starting to rationalize. Oh, so I'll be Macarver maybe, you know, it's kind of this, right, you know. And then that one more, they're alone, right? Right. Hashem set it all up. Anybody else would have failed. That's why he's called a tzaddik. He's the only one when God really stacked the deck against him, and he still passed. And what made him pass? What made him pass? As Gemara says, he saw the vision of his father. Well, what does that mean? He saw the vision.
Who sent that image to him?
What? Hashem gives you a little bit. You know, it's like you've got this this rush of water, right, ready to burst through. So it gives you a little thumb for the dike. So the vision of his father, I mean, like, wow, that's like a really amazing thing. You know, remembering his father's face, and now he's got the most beautiful woman in the world. Okay, Dad, I'll see you later. Right? I mean, he gave up a little something. It was a little, but. Compared to, so of course God had to give him a chance. But, you know, it's like you're the guy in the bar is ready to be with the sheikh. They said, I wonder what the rabbi would think. What does the rabbi care? Let's go ahead. Right, that's about as far as that helped. Right? Maybe the one of us, the rabbi, how could I look at it? Nah, I'm not going to do it. Right? So, at the end, now that final decision would be his. What was he doing going home? Going to the house when everybody is at the idol and he kind of knew that the wife of Potiphar was there. You know? Okay, it was a little fall on his part. Right? And he was just about ready to do the Aveira. You know? But you know, at the end of the day, he stopped. So it's all a setup. We got to realize it's all a setup from Hashem. And what's up is Yaakov's. Yaakov represents MS. Wasn't just his father. Why didn't his AD come? What about Avram? Wouldn't it help better if Avram came? He knew his AD, he didn't. Yitzchak. That's pretty good for, because Yaakov is emes, is truth. And that's not, and truth doesn't live with fantasies. He says, my father never taught me to live with fantasies. It's all a fantasy. All the people who are upsetting you during the day, it's all a fantasy. Now, of course, those people are responsible for what they're doing and they'll be punished or if they're doing something wrong to you. But Hashem is using these people to get right under your skin. It's all a narishkeit. Now, you just got to see it that way. So then what is it there for? For you to work on yourself. The only reason it got to be a narishkeit is because you have narishkeit within yourself. If I can see that that's a narishkeit, how did I allow that narishkeit to be so real? Because I have narishkeit in me. So now I got to get those narishkeit out of myself. And that was the growth of that situation. And if you fall, then it's unfortunate that you're responsible. Sometimes people don't realize they did something wrong till they did something wrong. You know, a lot, being the tool of a fantasy fair doesn't suggest you're the greatest person either, even if you don't fall. The fact that you allowed it to get to the point where it's a test, that means there's something wrong with you. Not that you're a bad person. Maybe certain levels have to be upgraded, or maybe you're just a bad person and some mitos have to be corrected. But God can't make a fantasy if there's no, it's not a little crack in the armor. If the guy's 100%, Hashem can't get in anyway. There's no way he can get in. So the fact that you even were tested means, whoa. So that's the Or Yashar. So you got to send it back to Hashem, to our Chozer, and say, Hashem, listen, this was a fantasy, and the biggest fantasy is I think that I'm better than I am, or I get upset. And that, you know what? That's the biggest fantasy, and that's my fantasy I have to live with, and I have to correct. All right, Mirtz Hashem, we will continue this fascinating discussion tomorrow.